Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. Already back in town. And welcome to the show, folks. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
What's up, Austin?
Man, nothing much. Captain, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Everything's well.
Yes, sir.
Astros lit it back up last night.
That's about time.
I didn't get to watch all the game. I'm re-watching it right now on replay, but it's 11-1, so looks like we did pretty good. I don't think the Angels have a chance coming back and winning this.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, got the British Open started. You know, that's on right now, too. If you care to watch the Open Championships of Britain over there, that's going on. So, a lot going on around here.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, let's get rolling. Let's see what we got here. For sponsors today, we have Texan Roofing, Skeeter's Auto Service, the CCA Star Tournament, Belleville Meat Market, Boyd's One Stop, and Castaway Rods. All right, Galveston right now. Weather down on the island, it's 83. Feels like 93 with that heat index. Today they're calling for a 20% chance of rain, partly cloudy with a high of 88 down on the island, being the mid-90s here in the high ground, and winds will be south at 10 to 20. Tonight pretty much the same, south-southeast 10 to 20, 10% chance of rain, low of 82, and then for tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 89, winds will be south-southeast 10 to 20. So we're back in that south wind rut again, like we were early in the summer after Barry, his existence. Well, anyway, all right, tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions, and we're on a two-tide schedule still. Right now we have a high coming up this morning at 7:49 a.m. It's a 1.3. Then our low will be tonight just before midnight at 11:53 p.m. It's a negative 0.3. And right now our sunrise is 6:31 a.m., sunset's 8:19 p.m., and our moon is full. Current conditions showing a buoy offshore 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. We have 85-degree water, 85-degree air temperature. Winds are south at 13, gusting to 18. Seas are 3 feet with a dominant wave period of 5 seconds. Barometric pressure is 30.05 inches. And looking at Eagle Point, we have a south wind at 14, gusting to 18. 85-degree water, 84 on the air temperature. And at Morgan's Point, we have 83-degree air temperature with 86-degree water with a south wind at 7 to 10. That pretty much rolls it up. It's pretty much where we stand with weather and tides and the outlook. So, anyway, we're going to start off a little different this week because Bill Watkins is on vacation. Instead of starting off with him, we're going to start off with a fish dude up on Lake Conroe, Richard Totch. Richard, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, Mickey. Not a lot.
I knew you wouldn't be hard to reach this early in the morning.
Well, shoot, no, I'm always here. ain't no doubt about that. Good night. It's still calm out, though. It doesn't turn on again, though. And there ain't no wind out of the north and settle down and turn back hot. But that's all right. It's all good. Them ain't no fish still biting. Hybrids are slowing down a little bit, but they're still out there.
Yeah.
I can catch them if I wait on them. It's just a matter of waiting on them this time of year because it's so dang hot. You don't want to wait too long because you'll miss out on a whole bunch of other stuff. So, but we're still catching them. Yesterday we caught one. That was it. And then decided to go right up there, catch a bunch of dang old catfish because, like I say, when it gets still out there, it gets hot. And yesterday it slicked off real quick. I mean, it was, I bet at 8 o'clock, it was just turning into a mirror out there.
Yeah.
It wasn't blowing a speck, and it was hot. And I said, that's enough of this mess. So we just loaded up. Then I had to go pick up that trolling motor, that one of them that I broke, drop off another. And I think finally GNS will be done with me as long as I keep breaking stuff. That's the thing. That's the thing. But it's all good. So, and today I'm gonna go see if I can haul out some bass. I don't know. Don't look like it's gonna rain.
Hey, the other day when you went bass fishing, did you do any good?
I caught a bunch of dang small ones. I had one keeper, I think, had a fistful of them, about 13 to 15 inches long. And that, you know, the legal limit on Conroe for largemouth is 16 inches.
16, right.
Right. I think they're going to change that this year, because last year they were doing a survey throughout, you know, a random survey on whoever thought that the legal limit should be changed to 14 inches like it is throughout the state. And so I think this year they may possibly change that. Normally those changes will take effect September 1. So we'll see how it goes, because that 16-inch length limit started back in the 80s right after they killed the hydrilla in the lake. When they took the hydrilla out with those carp, the fish population was down. The largemouth population was down a great deal anyway. And you know, thanks to that KILT tournament that was going on the lake all those years, because they did a lot of restocking of all fish. I mean, it didn't matter, crappie, catfish, bass, everything. They helped stock a lot of fish with the percentage of money that they used through the entry fees on Lake Conroe. So all the years that they did that, that's where all these largemouth are coming from now, these giant ones that are coming out of there. A lot of those Florida strain fish that they pulled, that they stocked in the lake with all that. So, you know, that was a really good thing. You know, it's just too bad, you know, everybody gets greedy. You know, all these knuckleheads get greedy and start saying that, you know, you owe me, bull on me. You didn't win that, you don't make it. But okay. It is what it is. Like I say, I want to go see what these dang old bass are doing, because them knuckleheads, they've been eluding me lately. I fished, you know, I've been fishing them those Tuesday night tournaments every Tuesday night. And, you know, I ain't been weighing in but two fish, and they ain't big enough for nothing, you know, weighing in yeah. two little three or four pounders. Now you got to have 3/8 to do anything. So that's what I keep looking for. So, and we're going to get there. It's just a matter of time. I'm going to get the bass fish a little bit now. Everybody's kind of slowing down on me. They won't get out there every day like they have been, so I still get to go. I get to change up and go bass fishing instead of hybrid catfish and everything else. So right now, that's what I'm a hot on their heels. I got to find me some big ones. I can't find no dang big fish. You know, I like catching them rascals.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to largemouth anyway. So... So that's one of them things. I don't know why I can't catch no big ones this year. Normally by this time I've already got at least three of them over 8 pounds, and possibly one close to 10. And yeah. I ain't even seen an 8-pounder yet, and I definitely hadn't seen one close to 10. So maybe today's the day. I hope so. Anyway, dang it, I want them to pull on my strike.
Well, maybe Tuesday night will be the night, you know, for that. When you want it.
That's when I want it. But I just, you know, the thing is, I've been throwing a bunch of crankbaits at them, because I like throwing crankbaits this time of year, because a lot of those fish are going to move out there in that deeper water.
Yeah.
And they're going to hang there. The problem with that is you got to keep up with where that thermocline is. Yeah, because it's happening right now. You know, the water's getting hot, so the oxygen level's changing in the water itself. And throughout the days, what I'm noticing here lately is let's say you start off in the morning catfishing, for example, and say by 8 o'clock you're sitting there wearing them out, and all of a sudden they quit. If you look at your depth finder, you'll see that they're moving off the bottom. And they've been doing that the past few years, I've noticed, and it's always this time of year when the oxygen level starts depleting. You'll see them on the bottom, and then all of a sudden they'll stop biting, and you'll look at your depth finder, and there they are. They're up 2, 3, 4, even 5 feet off the bottom. And just like yesterday, we did that a little bit. Drop it down there and hang out on the bottom with them, and they bite cranked, and then they quit. As soon as they quit, reel it up a crank or two and hold it, and all of a sudden, boom, here you go again.
Yeah.
And they just keep moving up. I mean, the other day they moved up, literally you could almost put about 5 foot of line out sitting in just 18 foot of water and catch fish. I mean, that was the weirdest thing because they never stopped coming up. And then all of a sudden they went back down. And it was just weird. All morning long they were on the bottom and they come up a foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, 4 foot. And then they're all the way up 8 foot or so from the surface. You're sitting there, and then all of a sudden, there you watch that fire. They go back to the bottom again. I don't know why they're going up and down in the water column like that, because normally when they come up, it's due to that thermocline, and they'll hang right there in that level. And right now, it's just moving. It's all the way. It's not on the bottom, but it's all the way throughout the mid-range, you know. It's weird. But it's fun when you figure it out anyway. You know, like I say, you sit there and watch them, and you quit getting bit. Reel it up a crank or two. When you reel that rascal up, they knock the fire out of it. When they do, hold on. Yesterday, you get on the bottom and you catch them about as big as you think. Reel it up about two cranks, catch them about 4 pounds. It's like, good night. All them little rascals are down there on the bottom, and the bigger ones are just kind of up like they're watching over them or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's all fun, though. Especially when you figure it out. Then I got, you know, my daughter come back into town, so I got her and her husband out for the first time. Her husband out for the first time anyway. You know, my daughter, she's always been out there.
Right.
But first time I had that rascal out there and had him fishing, so I didn't have to throw him overboard, so we're all right.
Well, if he's going to fit in with the family, he better be able to fish.
I guarantee you, if he ain't got it, he better figure it out. Because that's what we do around here. We fish and we hunt. There ain't no doubt. It's a hoot. There ain't no doubt about that. But now I got him and his little brother out there. His little brother tickled me yesterday because we was out there. We probably been going, you know, 30, 45 minutes. And he goes, you know, I didn't realize I like fishing this much. Well, shoot, you rascal, that's what it's supposed to be about. You're supposed to get out here and just have a good time all the time. And he had a hoot. So that's the fun part there. When you see those kids and they tell you stuff like that, that they didn't realize that they enjoyed fishing that much, that's what it's all about, Papa. You know, when you get somebody out there like that, you know, he said he'd been fishing but never from a boat, you know, always standing on the bank and all that. And then they tell you something like that. It kind of makes you feel good, you know.
No doubt.
It makes me feel good anyway. I guarantee you, kid. Yeah. That's what it's all about. That's the future of the fishing and hunting industry right there. Them kids coming up, every one of them. You get them hooked on it, they're going to be there. You keep them out there watching the video games, they might be inside a prison watching video games. Ain't no doubt. You get them out in the woods, most likely they ain't going to be messed up and going to jail or nothing like that. Most likely. Sometimes I'm not.
Most likely. Most likely. Hang on, Richard. Let me do a commercial break, and I'll come back. Hang with me. I'll be right back to you, my friend. All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:18 here in the Bayou City. Let's go back to Richard up at Lake Conroe and talk some more about Lake Conroe and freshwater fishing. Richard, we are back. Thank you for holding, my friend.
Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. No doubt about that.
I was going to ask you something. Hey, when, you know, these guys, you know, there's a lot of people that have gotten into this noodling stuff, you know, with catfish.
Right.
And is there do you have to have any kind of special license? Do you have to put your name and license number on that noodle or anything like that while you just throw it out? You know,
yes.
A lot of guys they'll bait those up and throw them out, and then they'll go crappie fish or bass fish and then come back and run them later with catfish on them. How does that work?
Right. The thing is, everybody needs to read the regulations on that. And most of the time, it's just like a trot line. You got to have your name, address, and the date that it was put in the water. And that's one of the big things
the date, huh?
Yes, you need to put the date on there because they've got to be – I'm not sure, you can't really quote me on this. I think they have to be ran every 24 or 48 hours, something like that, or they have to be, you know, you have to be redate them or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because you chunk them out there and say you put 20 out and you go pull 18 up, we can't find the other two. Well, there ain't no telling where they're at, and they'll all be out there just floating around or have fish on them and run off, you know, because them mango fish, they'll grab them, and I've seen them pull them out. You know, I actually saw one about 30 pounds drag a jug around for 4 days. I pulled it when I see them out there sometimes. I like seeing them when they go under.
Yeah.
Like this one had a gallon jug on him, and he was dragging that gallon jug around for 4 days before somebody finally got him. Because, like I say, I don't do that because it's you don't do that to other people's stuff. You don't go run their stuff. But when I see a jug out there popping up and down, I go grab it and see how big it is, and I let him go. You know, I let the jug go and watch it. You know, because somebody will come back and check it eventually. Well, this one sat out there for 4 days running around in the same spot. Now, I was running around about a half a mile in this creek. It would make about a half-mile loop in this creek. And it kept going in circles out there, and I'd watch it. And, you know, first day I pulled it up, I knew it was a 30-pounder on there. And I'd come back through there the next day. Well, it was still there, and then swimming around. I said, well, somebody did it. And I stuck him through there, and it was there. And I said, well, if he's there tomorrow, I'm just going to turn him loose, you know, so. Because, like I say, it's one of the things you don't want to do, but you also don't want that fish to sit on there and die either. So
right.
I sat there, that fourth day I pulled in there, and he was gone. So somebody either got him or whatever. But you know, that's one of the reasons behind it, because you don't want to leave. You know, if, say you got 50 people out there, and they leave two jugs each. Well, you know, you got 100
jugs. You got 100 jugs out there, yeah.
Yeah, that somebody lost.
I was wondering about that.
That's what it is. That way they can, you know, it's trackable. They can tell, okay, this is you. You left it. Did you leave it intentionally? Did you lose it? Did you do what? Or have you just put it in? And, you know, stuff like that.
Are they required to use a special hook on those? Do you have to use a circle hook or?
No. Huh? No.
No.
You can use any kind of hook, tri-line hook, circle hook, whatever. It don't matter.
Gotcha.
As far as I know, you don't. Unless they've changed that law, there's no circle hook. Like offshore, I think they've gone to circle hooks only, right?
Right.
Like tuna fishing or snapper fishing, stuff
yeah,
like
snapper,
that.
Yeah, snapper, you got to use circle hooks.
Right. And see,
now, how does that fish hook itself on that line? It's just freewheeling around. There's no resistance on it to tighten up the line or anything when the fish eats the bait.
You know, that's what's kind of funny about it. It's really strange, but they do. What they'll do is they'll, like those noodles, a lot of times people cut them in, they'll use a swim noodle, and they'll take a piece of, say, half-inch PVC pipe and shove down that hollow center and cap off both ends. That way you've got that tube in there holding it that's solid, and then you got the foam that's making it float. So they've got to pull it down. Normally it'll be about a foot and a half long, 18 inches, something like that, and it'll be out there floating flat. When a fish gets on it, it'll pull it straight up, and then it'll go down. Well, as it pulls it up, you're creating that resistance. So when it pulls it down, they're actually got it in their mouth, and they're kind of gumming on it, and they're chewing it. And then as they pull it down, just the weight of that float itself will ultimately get the hook to penetrate and get in there. So it's strange, but it works, you know, especially those gallon jugs. When you see them on a gallon jug, if you ever get one to pull a gallon jug under, it's kind of like watching Jaws. You might need a bigger boat because them rascals are big. When they pull a gallon jug under and keep them down, that's a big old
one.
Fish.
Yeah.
You ain't lying. Cause
oh, I thought they used those old pool floaty noodle things.
Right. That's what most people do.
Most of them use those, yeah.
Yes, most people do those, but the serious guys, they're using Clorox. They're
using a Clorox bottle, you bet you, man.
That's it, and I'll tell you what, you see one pull a Clorox jug down and hold it down for 5 minutes. That's a big one. That is a big one. I've seen one do it. I chase this sucker. I never saw
no way he can be down. We got three barrels on him. There's no way he can be down.
I know. That's the same way them things.
Hey, speaking of Jaws, man, Shark Week's fixing to start this weekend and all next week. That's going to be.
Yeah, buddy. I get the shark trucker going. That's going to be a blast, ain't it?
That'll get everybody a little antsy at their wade fishing down on the coast when they see one of those bull sharks start tailing them and swimming around them after watching Jaws all week.
Yeah, better get out of the water. Ain't no doubt about that. Ain't no doubt. Good night. I tell you what, it's hot too. Them bull sharks ought to be moving in pretty good.
They are. I'll talk to Steve Hillman tomorrow. He's got a story about his, I think his daughter's boyfriend had a bull shark put him on a bank in West Bay this week. So.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So. Following him around like a puppy dog. I had one do me like that fishing one of Seeley's tournaments when he had one of those hourly deals out of Galveston. I was up my way in Trinity Bay fishing, and I'm by myself the first day. My son and my nephew were supposed to fish with me, but they had a golf tournament on Saturday. I said, well, y'all can fish for one day. You know, I can enter y'all for one day. I'll just go by myself on Saturday. And, man, I had some good ones. I was on some toads, man, and I'm catching them on top waters. And I just felt like something was looking at me. And I looked behind me, and this big old bull, he's just sitting there idling, eyeballing my stringer. And I had three weigh-in fish on it. I mean, good ones. And I said, man, I got to get these fish back to the boat. Well, he kept following me like a puppy dog. I walked in where I got knee-deep water, and he was rubbing his belly on the bottom following me. This was a big one, man. And he had his whole back out of the water. And he followed me all the way back to the boat, but I pulled the stringer out of the water and was just carrying it, you know, keeping the fish out of the water, because he would have eaten them if I'd left them in the water.
Oh, there ain't no doubt. I guarantee you would have.
And bull sharks just bother me because they're very unpredictable. You know, they're one of the most aggressive sharks. And you know, in all our shark species. And, you know, they like fresh water. They're attracted to rivers and things like that. And that's why Trinity Bay has so many of them, because that fresh water doesn't even bother them.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, that's what's weird about them bull sharks. Them rascals, they'll run up in the Trinity River, way up in the freshwater.
If they could get into Conroe, they would. You know,
I guarantee they would. They'd be running all up that San Jacinto River into the lake. There ain't,
you know, I worry about that. You know, everybody's swimming in the rivers and stuff in the summer times, you know, that are close to the coast. But
yeah,
they've recorded them up the Ohio River and everywhere else, you know, long ways from the Atlantic Ocean. They've got data on them where they've gone hundreds of miles inshore, you know, upstream.
Oh, yeah, well, was it around that, a lot of them places overseas, they got a lot of that junk where, you know, where they got the crocodiles and all that, they're running all that, lot Nile and all those rivers. They got them dang the sharks running all up and through there, and it's like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you're getting attacked from crocodiles, sharks, and everything just by going and getting a drink of water or washing your clothes, or even going swimming. It's like, what the heck? You can't do none of that over there because everything will eat you. But them bull sharks, I saw that one a couple of years ago they had down around Kennefic up in the river. They I don't know if they proved or disproved that thing was laying on the bank out there.
Saw the photo of it. You could tell it was definitely upstream because there were cypress knees in the water where that thing was.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know whether they caught it in salt water and then ran up there and took a photo with it, or it just happened to be. They caught, I remember that right after I started doing this show.
Yeah.
Probably 10 or 12 years ago, I remember somebody caught one up right under the Lake Livingston Dam, a bull shark. It was about 6 feet long. Yeah.
Oh, I guarantee you, I wouldn't doubt that at all, because, I mean, them rascals, I don't know how they can do that. I mean, it's really weird. But
all they do is swim and eat, man. If you see how fast a shark can swim, it doesn't, you know, it's like tuna.
Yeah.
You know, those split-tail fish, they can boogie. They can cover a lot of water real fast.
You ain't kidding, they can. That's like last year when we was out there tuna fishing. You know, I'm going with Jeff Coat this year, so. Last year was out there tuna fishing and caught that 92. Right off the bat, the very first thing, I'm sitting there hauling on to the rod, and the first 3 or 4 minutes was just watching the line peel out of the reel. He wasn't slowing down for nothing. I mean, I'm sitting there going,
it's like hooking a dump truck, man.
It dang sure is. I think I had 38 minutes on the rod, and now
a fast dump truck.
I guarantee it's a fast one too. That sucker's got a turbocharger on him. And he is getting it, because that first one, like I said, that 92, sat on the rod for 3 to 4 minutes just watching line fill out, going, when's he going to stop? You know, he's got to stop sometime. There ain't that much line on this reel. But, and that's a big old 8-wide, too. You know, it's like, that song I was getting it. And, I mean, then the work started when he finally did slow down. Them things are something else now.
They are. Man. They're an awesome fish. They're good to eat, too. Well, Richard, I got to roll, man. You have a good day. Good luck on those bass. I'll check in with you Saturday and see how you did.
That sounds great.
And I'll be hitting you early again Saturday because Bill Watkins is on vacation this week. He took his grandson to a Taekwondo tournament in Florida. So
there you go. There you go. Thing is, he better not make him mad. He's all turn around and whoop on him.
That's right. You got it. All right, man. Well, hey, throw out some information. Somebody wants to get a hold of you, bud.
All right, Mickey, you want to get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
You got it. Richard, have a good day, man. Good luck out there.
Yes, sir. Y'all too.
All right. See you, man.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey will tell you where to go and what to throw.
Have you got to fish for corvina yet when you go to those places?
Oh, man.
Giant trout with no spots on
it. Giant trout. I caught one about 30 pounds, and I tell you what, I wanted to take a picture, take a magic marker, and put spots all over him, man. Take my picture with this, buddy.
You're going to find out what they're biting on from Baffin to Sabine. Big Lake to Matagorda, and some places in between.
But I'm gonna argue with you. There are people attacked by sharks every day in this country. Every time they walk into a payday loan store.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:37 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Matagorda Way now, and let's talk to our good friend, Captain Charlie Paradoski. We just call him Charlie P. Charlie, what's up?
Morning, Mickey. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Everything's good. How are you?
Well, I'm fair to middling. I'm getting ready to go down West Wade with a group, and you all keep talking about sharks, so I guess I'll put my shark bucket boat today.
You better. It's getting that time. They're starting to show up in the shallows around here.
Well, let's see. Last weekend we had 2 good days in the surf.
Yeah, y'all did. Gah.
You know, Friday, no sharks. And Saturday, ankle biters everywhere.
Nasty little boogers.
Yeah, buddy.
They eat your fish up on a stringer, man.
Yeah.
They got that little bite radius about the size of a teacup.
Yeah.
Nasty.
But so far in West Bay, I've had 2, you know, 2 issues with them, and been real lucky. But where these fish are now is a real sharky spot. So
you think? Hey, I've heard so many stories out of you and Billy P. and Lynn Smith and all you guys that weighed down there a lot on that end. Golly. Well, I've had the experience myself whenever I've waded there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nothing. You better be concerned. You know, keep your eyes open.
How about Powderhorn? That's another shark pit over there on that southwest wall at Port O'Connor. Golly, they get bad in there. God.
Over here, they don't follow you. They just take it.
They just come on in there and get it, huh? They're not tentative at all.
Nope. No playing around. But I haven't fished the past few days, Mickey. I hadn't either. I've been dealing with a bent prop shaft. I had to get a new lower unit.
Oh, God.
So, you know, it's funny. You go out that diversionary canal, you know, sooner or later it's going to happen. You follow the same damn track every time you go out, and all of a sudden, you know, there's something in there.
Oh, boy.
But took it to Ranzas Pass to Chris's Marine, and they got me fixed up, and I'm ready to roll this morning.
Those guys are pretty good down there, aren't they? I hear a lot of good things about them.
The best around.
That's what I hear.
No weak links at all. Every one of them is on top of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds like the guys I deal with up here, FCJ, man. Them guys are just, they're above board.
Oh, yeah. I hear the same thing about them. But anyway, now we got this old man's tournament to deal with the next 3 days.
Oh, that's right. That's this weekend. Golly.
Yeah.
That starts tomorrow, doesn't it?
Well, I got a group of them today.
Pre-fishing?
Luckily, I got them to wade today, but the next 2 days, it's 90% fishing out of the boat.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and now we're going to be dealing with these strong south winds.
I can't believe that south wind's back already. I mean, it's just a dew pumping south. That's why I didn't go this week. I'm having trouble catching them when it's perfect, much less fighting a south wind where I'm fishing.
Yeah.
You know,
and a lot of them, you know, are planning on going offshore too. They got a lot of offshore boats around.
Yeah, they have a pretty good offshore turnout in that tournament every year.
Yeah, they do. So that's what we're going to be dealing with for several days. I don't think many people have been fishing. You know, I know a few have, but,
it's been a little light up here, too. There hadn't been a lot of crowds on the water this week at all, either. Same here.
Yeah,
been pretty light.
That weather changed Sunday, and there hadn't been much going on.
No.
You got to give those fish a break every now and then, you know.
And they don't get much of a break year-round. I mean, fish are targeted hard year-round.
Yeah, just... you know, just amazing how many fish come out of these waters day after day after day.
Yes, it is.
Got to be an end to it somewhere.
It's incredible. I just, you know, our river's finally, this is the lowest reading I've seen in over a year. Lake Livingston's finally at normal pool, and they've dropped it to 6,000 cubic feet per second. So... let the rebuilding process begin on that fresh water flow and start getting tides and everything to work this good water back up. Maybe we can get some fish to come with it. It's been a long dry spell up my way for quite a while now. I'll be glad to get back in my comfort zone. Just hoping there's some fish to come with it. You know, that's our whole deal is there's just not a lot of fish. You got areas where there is a lot of fish, and if you don't go there, you're not going to catch anything.
Yeah.
And you got to go back to the till every day and fight the inevitable. It's just, I live too far from San Luis Pass and on that end down there. If I'm going to go that far, I might as well keep pulling and come to Matagorda and fish, you know?
Yeah. Well, we don't need no more rain. That's for sure.
We can...
I went over the Brazos the other day. I couldn't believe how low the water was in the Brazos. I hadn't seen it that low in a long time.
That's what I heard from another guy. He went down 59 and said, hey, man, the Brazos is finally down. I hadn't seen it down in over a year.
Yeah. And went over the Colorado yesterday at the 521 bridge coming back.
Yeah.
And that water in that river is as pretty green as I've ever seen it right now.
Good.
Beautiful. So people can get in there and start catching redfish. Spread them out.
Yeah, that comes back pretty quick because you got that direct funnel from the Gulf.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Just like the Brazos does.
Yep.
And that saves you guys a lot of issues and freshwater problems down there because y'all's rivers flow to the Gulf for the most part. It doesn't have to go all the way through your bay systems and then exit into the Gulf through passes. like we have to do. It trashes our entire system out before it can work its way out into the Gulf. That's what hurts.
Yeah.
But you remember back in the day when we had this issue of the saltwater barrier and all that up there in the marsh at Trinity Bay? Remember they were building the Corps of Engineers?
Right.
And how everybody fight the saltwater barrier. You know, we've got to have this fresh water and stuff. Boy, I wish we had that barrier now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can remember, you fished back before there was a Lake Livingston and a dam. And,
yep.
You know, a lot of these rivers, you know, they built these reservoirs along them and cut off the, you know, the instant flow, immediate flow of fresh water where it would, you know, we'd get these rain events and it would just come down all at once and get out of here and come right back. Now it's just purged. You know, you just got a consistent flow, and it's changed a lot. It really has. It's hurt a lot of things up and down this coast, especially on this upper end.
Well, you know, they did the same thing over here with that Colorado River. They diverted it to West Matagorda Bay and shut off Parker's Cut. I mean, that really, it changed West Matagorda Bay.
Yeah, it did.
But at least we still got a few fish to catch over here. We're still going.
Yeah, you are.
Rain or shine.
I see your Astros really put a butt-whipping on the Angels last night.
Yeah.
I didn't get to stay up and watch it.
They better get him another pitcher, though.
Two. We need two starters bad.
Yeah.
Real bad.
Should have never let Charlie Morton go. Look how good he's doing over there.
I was just talking to Austin in the break about that. I wish we still had Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
I wonder why we let him go.
I don't know. I don't think it was a money issue.
Can't be money, because, you know,
call.
We just won a World Series.
Yeah.
He pitched two of the best Game 7s I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think it was just a bad call on somebody's behalf.
Yep. Well, Garrett Cole was a good call. Golly, he struck out another 11 batters last night. What a beast.
Yeah.
He's almost got 200 strikeouts for the year. We're just getting going.
Should be getting Carrera back shortly, too.
Boy, I hope. I still can't understand how you can break a rib and getting a massage. There's something more to that than.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
Charlie, what are you mostly throwing now? Are you throwing 13 reels? Are you throwing that new TXZ?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yes, I do.
I've got two of them, and I sure like mine. I hadn't had any issues with them yet.
I've had it cleaned. I've had one of them cleaned once, and I don't know. I got about five of the orange ones. I've got the original silver one. Hell, I still think it casts farther than any of them.
Oh, the E?
No, the Concept C, wasn't it?
The white one.
Yeah,
that's the C. The E is that kind of gray silver looking one.
Yeah. I put all three of them in the boat. Mickey on a different Waterloo rod and
right.
I just grab whatever one I want to and fish with a different one every day. You know,
I'm the same
way. Orange one, yeah. I keep an orange one ready to go. I keep a white one and I keep the new one, the green one.
Yeah, that's Seafoam green.
Yeah, it's a good reel.
Yeah, it is. I've had real good success out of mine. I gotten all them reds with them last week, and boy, the drag system, I mean, everything just smooth as silk, and still Cadillacing.
What about the line? Have you used that cigar line that Mike sent us?
The gray
silky looking line? What's it called?
That cigar You talking about the braid?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the proper name for that braid? What is that called?
It's on the tip of my tongue, and I can't
spit it out. Yeah, me too. It's, you know, it's smaller diameter for its size than other braids, but it still has the same strength. What
right.
in the
I
world is that called?
Golly, I'm using it in 40
I'm
pounds.
I'm so brain dead.
I'm using the 40-pound, and it's silky smooth, man. It's the best line I've used yet as far as braid goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you remember Power Pro had that Slick 8 that was silky smooth like that. And
yep.
when it first came out, it was very dependable, and it didn't, you know, fray on you or any flaws in it or anything. And as they started mass producing it, I guess, and then, you know, I got to where I had to quit using it because it got too frayed and too flawy, you know?
Yeah, me too.
It lost its durability versus what it was like when it first came out, unless they ran off so many spools of it and it just gotten old in everybody's warehouses, you know, sitting in the element. I don't know.
Yeah, I bought several big spools of it, and it would go bad. But I like that new cigar line that they sent us.
Yeah, cigars, good stuff. And that's all I use in fluorocarbon. Their fluorocarbon is incredible. You know, all their leader material and everything. And, you know, you can even, you know, I remember Mike Iaconelli in the Toyota Texas, the Toyota Bass Classic at Conroe that year, that he was using a little light shaky head, but he was using real light fluorocarbon line so he could get that sink with that bait, that real light bait, and keep his presentation just right, because he said those fish he was on was very, they were very finicky. And he was sold on that fluorocarbon because of the amount of water, you know, it absorbs water and you get that sink with it.
Right.
And versus regular mono and braid. And
yep.
Yeah, I put my braid rod in the boat last week when I got on those reds on Monday. I had two mono rods in there, and the next day I showed up, I had a little bit heavier rod with some braid on it for them rubber lips, man.
You need it for them, don't you?
Yeah, and that open water, you know how they fight in that, and that deeper water. They're just bulldogs, man.
Yeah.
Well, and they'll wear you down, especially with a little
sure
old light
will.
Flimsy trout rod and 10 or 12 pound mono. You got to be real careful with them. Them big schools, all it takes is one fish to swim into your line while you're taunt with a redfish on it, and it just breaks you off.
Right.
Nothing aggravates me any worse than breaking off.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of hung on braid. I don't even use monofilament anymore.
Oh yeah, it's ruined a lot of us.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Well,
Charlie, I wish you the best today. Hope you find something good for the weekend. And hey, it is Shark Week coming up, so watch them sharks.
Oh yeah.
Sharky.
I'll keep my eyes open.
All right, I know you will, buddy. Hey, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come down to Matagorda and fish with you, my friend.
713-725-2401.
All right, bud. Well, Charlie, it's always a pleasure, man. Have a safe, wonderful day out there. Light them
all
up, man. All right, bud. See ya.
Take care. Bye.
You too. All right, that's Captain Charlie Paradosky down in Matagorda.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.